Log Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me, it's coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead. Till that secret, sacred place of you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be
I want to say welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. I want to thank my co-host, evangelist Terry Rogers, who conducted and was hosting this show for the last couple of weeks now. I'm going to try to stop saying said it again. Praise God. Hallelujah. But she has been on her post hosting and giving an unadulterated word of God. We do have a spirit-filled show for you today. Announcements first off. And I just want to give a special thank you to all of you that came, all of you that sent cards, all of you that text me, all of you that came to support the homegoing and the visitation of my sister on last week, Ledora Mosley, who went home to be with the Lord on the 21st of July. And certainly we had her service on August 1st and August 2nd. We praise God for her life. We praise God for her legacy. And we thank so many of you that showed your outpour of love for my family. We don't take it for granted. You didn't have to show up. You didn't have to call. You didn't have to text. You didn't have to respond in kindness the way you did. And certainly we want to say thank you. And I wanted the opportunity to say thank you, thank you, and thank you. If you will, this is still a ministry. We are short one board member. She went home to be with the Lord. I'm going to look at obtaining and interviewing people that we will consider as part of the board of Amazing Grace Ministries, because certainly we suffered a great loss. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. So anyway, we still need to move forward. This ministry still needs to function. We still have a work to do. And all of you that has graciously given to Amazing Grace Ministries in the past, I thank you so much. Thank you. And again, I thank you. You can send all donations to P.O. Box 438, 411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. I want to thank those of you that have already sent your donations. Certainly, you have blessing. You are blessing this ministry. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree a blessing in this and in the remaining of this year, because we all the way out. We on our way out. We are in the eighth month. We only have a couple more months left, and certainly we're looking forward to the new year. And again, if you're blessed by this show, if something I've said that you feel like it's a blessing, let me know. If it's something that you want to hear coming out of this show, let me know. 309-750-7584, or you can email AmazingGraceMinistries@gmail.com. And it's amazing, AmazingGraceMinistries@gmail.com. Certainly, we are on the air every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, rain or shine. We are on the air except for a couple of major holidays where we are fellowshipping with our family. So let's get into this word, shall we? We will be binding the strong man of fear. So we want to come along and we want to take on a journey to trusting God for everything that we have, every need that we have, and binding the spirit of fear. Fear creates lack of trust and doubt in God, and we must believe that God can and God will fix it. So the theme for the month of August is just simply, God will fix it. And I remember so often my sister who went on to be with the Lord would tell us the same, God will fix it. And God fixed it. Even though we're trying to adjust and we're trying to move forward in her loss, God fixed it for her. Because this body, as you get older and you move forward, there's so many things that happen. You know, if you will be honest with yourself and think about some things, you can say to yourself that I can't do what I used to do at 20. I can't do what I used to do at 30. Now, there's some, I look at the 80-year-old bodybuilder who's bodybuilding at her age. So basically, there are some exceptions to the rule, but when we look at aging, the body ages, and even though she may be able to pick up so much at a time and her body is good, there's still a progression of age. And because there's a progression of age, that means that we are on a journey to getting older. And praise God, if we can say as that journey, as we get to our 70s and 60s and 80s, and I'm going backwards, our 80s, my parents, my dad is 92, my mother is 88, if we can progress to that particular age to say we have seen the goodness of the Lord, but there's still some physical challenges that we have had. Now, that's not my theme today. My theme is Satan's weapon of intimidation. And when we look at it, the Lord, I got up this morning, I wrote my lesson out, I prepared it, and I got some scriptures. I got James 1, verses 1 through 6, and I want to read them. It says, I, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of sea driven with the wind and tossed. 2 Timothy, and this is a familiar scripture, 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. You know, and I've got some more, and I'm going to read them, praise God. Matthew 8:26, and which reads, and he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Jumping down to Revelations 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, when I wrote all this, of course, we're talking about fear, the fear Satan gives us, the fear and the yoke of intimidation. And when we look at what intimidation is and to intimidate, and you're looking at to make timid, to make fearful, to frighten, especially to defer or deter or by or as by threats, you know, when you look at intimidating, when you look at other forms of the intimidator. So when we look at that, again, we can say that the definition is to make timid or to make weak, to make fearful, to be filled with fear, to be seized upon, to be so fearful that you can't move. And in my field of in counseling, psychology, and being a mental health coach, you begin to understand, and living in the city of Chicago, you can see every day on the news there is some type of violence. And I was able to look at the news show on yesterday on Channel 7, I do believe. But they hosted a program, and it was Channel 7, with Val Warner called Stop the Violence. And they had a panel. They had a panel of people discussing, even the police chief and Father Flager, on the television show, discussing the issues of what is needed to stop the violence, to stop the violence in our community. You know, but one of the things that we have to understand, what happens when there is a parade of violence, when there is a parade of shooting, when there is a parade of death, there is what is called traumatic experiences. So in essence, there are situations in our lives that will cause emotional injury. When we feel that our lives have been threatened. And when you look at the news and you see all the violence, when you see everything that's occurring, when you see the death of your loved ones, when you see people getting shot in the street, when you see the economic indifference or the economic difference in poverty, when you look at African American or those communities in our neighborhoods that lack the resources to be very, very resourceful. We can look at what happened in Highland Park versus what happens on the south side of Chicago and say there are a lack of resources from that community to the community, to communities that are impoverished. Praise God. I'm trying to go somewhere here. So when we look at the intimidation, when we look at fear, when we look at what it creates, so trauma produces intensive feelings of fear. But then the word is saying, and he switched me over, and we're discussing all the scriptures of fear, the intimidation, and First Timothy that says that I read earlier that says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. But yet if we look at the television, if we look at the news, and our eye gates take on everything that's happening around us, then that particular spirit enters into our area, into our consciousness. Now, what you mean consciousness? Meaning this, that we see it, we begin to think about it, and because we begin to think about it, it begins to become reality in our thought process. So because it becomes reality in our thought process, we say, I cannot go out because it's too bad out there. I'm not going on the south side of Chicago because stuff happens. I'm not going on 59th Street. I'm not going on 79th and Racine because there a car accident happened on last night, and it would just be my luck to be involved in something crazy. Now, I'm talking and giving examples of how the mind begins to display the spirit of fear. Now we grappling with what we have seen, what we have heard, and now our body begins to respond to what we have taken in. So when we look at that scripture that says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but our eyes have watched the news. And certainly when we look at what's going on in our own lives, we begin to get a sense of panic and fear. And we don't know where it's coming from. But we have allowed that spirit to creep in. So then we go over to this, Isaiah 4:16-17. And it says, and this is the New Living Translation, I got up this morning and I had a word, but God said, this is what I want you to talk about. And it says, I have created the blacksmith who fans the coals beneath the forge. Now, if you ever looked at a blacksmith, now, I like the Discovery Channel because I like learning new things. And they have a show called, I don't know the name of it, but they have blacksmiths on the program, and they are, they take metals and they make instruments out of those metals. And the best one that can make a particular shape or a particular item in a course of an hour, then there's levels. So in essence, when you look at a forge, when you look at this intense oven that's so hot that it can melt metal, and it has to be hot. It has to be so hot that when the blacksmith even puts anything in this forge, he has to have on gloves, and he has to operate that piece of metal with a long tube, a stick, to handle that metal, and so that his body is not close to that forge, and maketh the weapons of destruction, and I have created the armies that destroy. Now, I'm going to read that one more time because I broke it in to explain it. I have created blacksmiths who fan the coals beneath the forge and maketh the weapons of destruction, and I have created the armies that destroy it. But in the coming days, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the saints of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. So when we look at this forge, when we look at a blacksmith who forges those weapons, who puts that piece of metal, that ore, that all types of metal into that hot fire and turn that block seemingly with no shape into weapons, into something that becomes used to defend or even as a weapon. Now, when I thought about it, I had to define weapons. It's a thing designed or used to inflict bodily harm or physical damage. A means of gaining advancement, to defending oneself in conflict or contract. So in essence, what you're saying, Dr. Carey, I'm saying that we have to understand that even though the scripture says no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper, we have to understand that Satan is lining up the weapons to use against us. He is lining up those weapons, those information that we've seen. You see the monkeypox. You see COVID-19. You see all of those chemical elements that seem to be coming out of nowhere. But think it not strange. The Bible has given us an indication that these things will come. Now, there is a rise, there's war rising in China. We have to be awake and alert. We can't be asleep. We can't be snoring. And we can't be thinking that God is not in control. So when we think of Satan's intimidation, so Satan comes to make us fearful, and he makes us fearful in a way that we let our guards down and we fall asleep. We become timid to who God is. And we must understand that God is a God of victory, and he's a God that does what he say he's going to do. So Satan brings discouragement, disappointment, dread of all forms of fear and all other forms of fear. Fear is the root of unbelief, unforgiveness, worry, anxiety, sickness, and disease. Some of us are wounded. Some of us say, well, I'm hurt and wounded, but boo, this is not the age to be hurt and wounded. We have going to have to shake the dust off. We're going to have to put the armor upon us, as we talk about in Ephesians 6, We have got to understand that we are on the battleground. And because we are on the battleground, we have got to be prepared to fight, because we must understand that we are victorious, that no weapon, none whatsoever. God is saying, I will vindicate you, meaning if you stand up and believe my word, if you stand up and understand who you are in me, I will bring you out. I will fix it. Nothing that you're going to go through, no problems that you're going to have. We talked about God fixing it so many times. We're talking about we may not have it all together, but God has us. And certainly when we look at God and who God is, God will fight our battles. God will show up at the showdown. Oh, so many of the characters in the Bible, like Elisha, after he did a mighty work, I said Elisha, not Elijah, Elisha, S-H, hallelujah. He's done a mighty work in God, and he go hide because Jezebel says, I'm going to get you like you got my prophets. But we have to understand that we can't operate in the spirit of fear. We can't let Satan intimidate us. We can't let Satan send out wolf tickets. We can't watch the news and say, oh, I'm scared now. We can't. So you got to turn the news off sometimes and just be informed to what's going on and just be aware and get you a class note. You know, in school, praise God, Cliff Notes, thank you, Lord. Cliff Notes was that book that you would read. If you didn't want to read the whole book, The Tales of Two Cities, for example, when you, Charles Dickens, when you in high school, when you in grammar school, there's certain literature that you had to read. And so if you didn't want to read all the books, you got the Cliff Notes. And the Cliff Notes would be in that that yellow and black book. And you would read the Cliff Notes, and then you'd know the whole entire story without reading the book. I'm saying you might have to get the Cliff Notes for the news. We need to fight. Our babies need to know the Lord saves. Our high school folks need to know you ain't got to take your life. Just hold on to the Lord, because if you do, sweetie, you may not make it to the second. You may die twice. When we look at Revelations, and certainly I just lost my loved one, and certainly we are grieving the loss of our loved one, but we have got to live right in order to see her again. And there is a second death. And because you die once, you also die again. And the Bible says that if the believers believe God, if we are saved, if we're sanctified, if we're filled with the precious Holy Ghost, and I ain't even going to say with fire, but filled with the comforter, and certainly if you know the Lord, if you have a relationship with Christ Jesus, a conscious relationship, to believe that God has changed you physically, mentally, and spiritually, then you won't have to face the second death. So if we read Revelations, I've read you the verse, Revelations 21 and 8, and says, unbelievers, those that don't believe, those that are wavering, those that don't trust him, those that are allowing fear to intimidate you, those that are not grabbing and holding, reaching up to God and say, God, I believe you no matter what. Oh, those, you will be amongst the liars and the whoremongers for that second death. It is critical that we believe. God, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Oh, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. I'm going to read another one, and I'm going to stop. For ye bear, 2 Corinthians 11:20, for ye bear it if someone makes slave of you or devours you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or strives in your face. What you just say, Dr. Carey? God fights our battle. We may not understand everything that we're going through, and we're not. Matter of fact, we're not going to understand everything. Had you have told me that on the 19th of July, I would see my sister talking for the last time, and on the 21st of July, she would be gone. If you had told me that, I would not have believed it. We are in a battle. We are in a battle with sickness. We are in a battle of diseases happening. Where did cancer come from? Where did monkeypox come from? Where did COVID-19 come from? And yet we have all of these places that say, send me your DNA, and I will tell you what region you're from. Be careful of sending your DNA to those places, because your DNA, which is the coding of who you are, which indicates you, every strand, we are unique and we are different. And hopefully I'm gaining some knowledge to somebody out there. Hopefully you're getting what I'm saying this morning. Certainly, I thank God for my co-host who's done a phenomenal job to cover me on last month. But when we think about our DNA, when we think about those strands of what makes us, and no DNA is the same because God has made us unique in his own image. But we send it to 23 chromosomes to Ancestry. Once we send our DNA to those companies, that DNA becomes their property to do whatever they want to do. So they can create chemicals in a lab that's totally resistant to the human race. They are weapons of mass destruction that are being created. There's China that seems to displaying their power against Taiwan. We are living in a time and in the last days, and we have to understand it's not about walking in fear, but it's walking in the authority that God has given you as a believer. So as we celebrate the theme for this month, God can and God has, God will fix it. And we could just say God has fixed it. Let's put it in past tense so we can see it. God has fixed it, and I believe. And I stand on the word of God. I will not be intimidated to what Satan throws my way. But I am victorious in Christ, and any weapon formed against me shall not prosper, because God will stand up for me. Because my Father loves me enough to send his only begotten son. And because he sent his only begotten son, I am joint heir to the throne. And because I'm joint heir to the throne, I can trust and believe that God is working it out for me right now. Not yesterday, right now. So when the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, I can do it. I can believe it because I am not to go out on my own authority in a way, but I am to allow God to guide and lead me. I am to allow God to show me and give me direction. That means when the scriptures say pray all the time, I've got to be praying. I've got to be seeking God. I've got to be in my cubby hold, speaking to the Lord and reading his word, because that is the only way I'm going to be encouraged. That is the only way I can stand. That is the only way to know that I am victorious. That is the only way to know that God has my back, and no matter what's going on, I can stand on Psalms 91 and say, even if I go outside, God has got my protection. He's protecting me. Hallelujah, because my faith stands assured that God is able, that God will do what he said he is going to do. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 9, I'm going to leave you with this and I'm going to pray. Chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, and I want you to read that. The devil's certain servants deceived, we are deceived, Satan tries to deceive us through power and through signs and lies. Read that scripture in your free time, because we want to understand that we have to stand. We can't allow Satan to blind us and put the veil over our eyes to know what false teachers and false believers are doing. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to blind us from the truth of who God is. So don't allow your faith to be weakened, strengthened. We talk about faith. We're talking about being imperfect. We talk about standing on God. We give you the word of God on this blog. And certainly the word on last month has been crisp and clear. I want you to go back and listen to those blogs. Listen to them and reinforce your belief system. Because Blog Talk Radio, we stand on the word of God. We don't give an opinion. We don't give a thought. Well, we give a thought on the word, but it's Bible-based, meaning I'm not going to come with my co-hosts. We're not going to come on this show and say what somebody else is saying. We're going to tell you what the word of God is saying and try to give you the best interpretation that we have of the word guided by the Holy Spirit. So in essence, let's pray on that note. Father God, I thank you for those of you that have decided to be part of this show on this morning. We pray that something has been said, something that has been spoken that will touch the heart of man to know and to be encouraged in you. Father God, we pray for our co-host who did such a beautiful job on last week. We pray that you strengthen and lift her up and strengthen her body and touch her kids and her grandkids if she have any. But you know, and you know what she have need of. And I pray even now, Father God, that you move mightily in her life. I pray, God, that you move in every listener that have listened to this show, God. I pray that this show may go all over the world. And I pray, God, that they may accept you in the pardon of their sins and make a conscious effort to believe you. Christ Jesus died on the cross. And the scriptures say, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, then you're saved. And certainly that means that I make a conscious effort to believe in Christ. I make a conscious effort to walk away from my sinful ways and allow God to begin to change me. And I recognize that I can't do it on my own, but the word changes me in the study, in the application, when it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, then that means that I could do all things, everything that God has given me. God, I pray, God, that you'll guide them and lead them to their purpose and their plan, what you have planned for them. And we pray even now, God, that those listening, God, will be encouraged, God, that you will touch and strengthen them. I pray for everyone that's going through, God, everyone that has lost a loved one, I pray for their strength. I pray for everyone that are dealing with a sickness in their body. You said by your stripes we're healed, and therefore we declare the healing of the Lord. We thank you, God, for what you've done, what you're going to do. We pray, God, for the success of even Amazing Grace Ministries. God, I put our ministry on the altar, God, as we regroup, as we restructure, Father God, and the loss of a board member. I pray, God, that you touch us right now, God. Allow us to band together in love, God. You know what we have need of, and certainly I put even this blog on the altar on this morning, God, that you get the glory, because we want to do things decently and in order. And we are your servants. We are yours to command and to guide and to lead. Because, God, the scripture says, in all our ways acknowledge you, and therefore we are acknowledging you on this morning. Lead us and guide us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Blessings, blessings, and more blessings. I will talk with you guys soon. God bless. Bye-bye.